Well, think about this situation for a moment. You're wandering around looking for a home, and it's been a long time. And you're with a group of people that you kind of have to camp out with, and you get a little grouchy and a little tired of seeing the same things every day in and out. You begin to wonder whether your leadership is doing what it's supposed to be doing. And then you begin to think about the place that you left from. It doesn't look so bad. Well, that's the Israelites in the time of Moses. For 40 years, they were wandering around. And yes, indeed, they complained over that time. They complained about Moses and Aaron. They complained about the food that they were receiving. They complained about whether, you know, why do we have to take this trip that's so long? Why is it taking 40 years? Does he know where he's going? And they begin to forget. They forget about the fact that they are God's chosen people. They forget about what they endured during their time of slavery for all those years in Egypt. All they could think about was that they at least had shelter and they had food for their bellies. And this is the first time in their journey during that 40-year period that they actually complain against God. God's not pleased with what he hears, so he sends serpents, snakes, to slither among them and bite them. And when they are bitten, they die. And then suddenly the light bulb goes on and says, we have sinned before God. So they go to Moses and say, pray to God and ask him to send these terrible things away from us so that we may live. And Moses speaks to God, and God says to him, take a serpent, a golden image of a serpent, and put it on a pole. And all who look at it will be saved. And that's exactly what happened. But you notice that it doesn't say that the serpents are taken away. They're still biting. And they're still biting us today. Because it's things that occur to us on a regular basis. You know, when I was in seminary, I went through a period of time of doubts and uncertainty. Now, I grew up, you know, my father was a Lutheran pastor, and I was fairly certain that's what I wanted to do. And not so much even just because it was something my father did, but it was because others around me that would say, you know, David, you ought to think about going into seminary. You ought to think about serving God. And that included my neighbors, that included my Sunday school teachers, that included people that I didn't know very well, but they knew me. And so I took that as God's way of calling me. But when I got to seminary and realized that the journey wasn't going to be all that easy, I began to have my doubts. In the first year I was there, we had our first son. And that created the problem of trying to make sure we had enough money to put bread on the table. And so I was holding down a couple of part-time jobs, and my grades suffered for it. It got so bad that the candidacy committee that was looking over me from the synod suggested that, you know, maybe you should go part-time, David, and then, you know, take a full-time position until you guys are established financially. And I thought the idea was horrible. I didn't want to drag this out. And then I began to wonder, well, maybe this is what I'm supposed to do, or maybe I shouldn't be going into seminary. Maybe I should be flipping hamburgers at Hardee's or something in that order. But all along the way, there were those moments that those serpents were kind of nipping at my heels, even up until my last year at seminary. But there were always ways in which God came through and showed where I was supposed to be. There were those moments that if I wasn't careful, I would have just that would have slipped right by me without notice. But God, in his wisdom and in his way, would say things and speak to me through others, or events would occur that would remind me why I was called to do what I was going to do. And that would happen even a little bit later as my kids would grow up. And I'm sure every parent was confident as being a parent, especially when you get to the teenage years. Sometimes questioning, am I a good parent or not? Those doubts kind of crept in again. But then there was the note from my oldest son when we left him off at college that he had hidden and left there on the back seat of the car, so that when we came home, we read this letter about how much he appreciated the love and the care that we had given him, which just caused us to bawl our eyes out. But yet it was a way of affirming, you know, I guess we weren't that bad of parents. Doubts, uncertainties. Those are things that occur in everyday living. Who could blame the Israelites for the struggles that they had? After all they were told is that they were going to be led to the promised land, and there were no other details. There wasn't a contract that was signed that said you will be there within a period of 10 weeks or 1 year. All they knew is that they were finally going to be free of the shackles of the slavery that they had endured for 400 years, and that they were going to a place that was called the land of milk and honey. But as those years passed, then the doubts began to come in and influence them. They became blind to the fact of what their past had held. They did not remember the hardships that they experienced. All they could think of is the fact that they struggled to find water each and every day, and they were tired of whatever the stuff that was coming from heaven that they called bread. Interestingly enough, it would be called angel's bread many years afterwards. But you see what happens when we start to doubt, when we start to veer from our ways, when we become blinded to God's goodness and grace that is constantly poured out upon us, when we experience hardship in life, whether it's as individuals or as a group or as a country, we tend to forget about how we have been blessed. How God had given us his son. And that's what this Lenten season is all about. It's a way of reminding us that indeed without God, we would be completely without hope. But God did not abandon us. God has always remained faithful. And I think what frustrates us so much in that understanding that God continues to love us is that as we hear what Paul says in Ephesians this day in the gospel reading, is that, you know, God gave us his son. It is by grace that we have been saved by faith, as Paul proclaims. You know what's frustrating about that is? You can't do a darn thing about it. As human beings, we have this need to prove ourselves. We have this understanding and we have this doubt that unless I do these things, unless I live this way exactly as Scripture lines it out, unless I live this perfect life, God will not accept me. But Paul couldn't be any more clear. The gospel of what proclaims that God loved the world so much that he gave us his son couldn't be any greater in understanding than to say God has done it all for us. And we abandon that every time we have our doubts, every time a snake comes up and bites us on the ankle. And all we can feel instead is that, I believe in the older versions of the Bible, it's the serpents of fire, because the bite would become inflamed and it would burn. And we'd realize the mistakes that we would make. Now, I'm not suggesting that today God is sending out snakes to cause us to die. I'm suggesting that we do that to ourselves because we are a proud individual. We are a proud people. And we forget. You know, we look at something and we say, oh, how wonderful that was. And we forget about all the hardships that led up to that point. You know, you talk to people who were living in the 50s, you know, and how wonderful those years were after World War II, because there was a great development here in this nation. We prospered and we grew. And you know, things were, everything was great because we like Ike. And the reality is we forgot the hardships of what led up to that point. We forgot about that terrible war which took so many millions of lives. We forgot about the fact that, you know, it was at that point that the whole nuclear proliferation was beginning, as nations were clamoring to be powerful and trying to find out what the secret to atomic power was all about. You see, we sometimes get blinded. Even congregations, we have the same concepts. We forget about the hardships and the difficulties that it takes to build a community. And that indeed there are ups and downs, and there are hurts and pains, and there are things that go on. And many of you have experienced that here at St. Luke's or in other communities. No place is free of uncertainties and of doubts. They can be in the sense that we can forget about it, or we just kind of hold those blinders up to our face and we don't see left or right, and we can believe that this is, oh, it's perfect, it's great. I remember in my first call, we were dealing with a countywide school system that was talking about closing the school in the community that I was serving. And I was asked to speak to that. So I spoke at this rather large community gathering, and the whole entire board was there, and speaking about how the school needed to be preserved and kept because of our kids. And I mean, you've heard the stories over and over, because every community has dealt with that issue at some point. And people were applauding and yelling and yay, yay, this is great. And when it was all said and done, and feeling a little bit good about myself, one of the board members said to me, "And what do you propose that we do?" And I had no suggestions. All I know is I wanted to keep that school going. You see, I was blinded. I did not see the struggles of how a school district that was limited with funds was going to be able to keep all these small schools in an entire county going. Got bitten by the serpent. When we think of snakes, most people tend to be fearful. And indeed, in our story in the Old Testament, it is a fearful image of snakes among the community biting the community members. But believe it or not, in those days, it was also seen as snakes not only being evil, because we suggested it was a snake. We hear it's a serpent in the Garden of Eden that tempts Eve. But we also hear that the form of a serpent, of a snake, is also of healing nature. It was believed in those days that if you were bitten by a poisonous animal or by an animal, that if you stared at it in the future, if you survived that bite, that you would live, that bite would not affect you, that there was some kind of healing way of recognizing that. Now, I don't understand the rationale. I'm not about to try to explore that. But they saw it as both evil and as healing. So when God tells Moses to put this serpent on a pole and tells the people to look at it, they will be healed. And as Jesus mentions in the Gospel of John today, just as Moses lifted up that serpent so others may live, so too must the Son of Man be lifted up so that we may live. So that the doubts and the uncertainties and the sense of perhaps being too puffed up with pride or expecting too much puts us back into the reality and the understanding that we are truly in the hands of God, and that it is only by His grace that we are saved. Now, for some, that may be a scary thought, but for me, it's extremely comforting. Because I have struggled all my entire life trying to make things sense out of things that sometimes I cannot. And I have lots of questions I would love to ask God when I get to that time and that place. But in the meantime, I hang on to those words that Paul speaks of, that we have been saved by God's grace, by a gift, and that we can look at the Son of God who hangs on the cross and know that we have been saved, and that we know that God's love permeates and continues to grow and blossom among the communities. And it has not stopped, it has not ceased, and irregardless of what people say, that the church is dying, that things aren't working right, God is very much alive and present. He's present right here. So when those serpents are kind of nipping at your heels, just look to the cross. When the doubts begin to overtake you, when fear overcomes you, when we hear that someone is sick, when we hear that our boss says, I've got to let you go, and we feel that our whole world is about to collapse, be strong, be faithful, and know that God is present. And here you will find healing and wholeness. There's no promise. There's nothing in the contract that says, you know, you're going to get from point A to point B without any difficulty. But what you will get is a God who will never leave you alone. Even at times when we wish God would leave us alone. But God gives us that guarantee. Look to my Son. Here you will find my love. Here you will be healed. Here you will be strengthened. Here you will find wholeness. Believe in me. Amen.